The oil leak could get plugged, but there are more problems ahead for BP.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. We're going to get a take on the global perspective now. What's happening in business and economics around the world and how it affects us here in the United States. Engineers in the Gulf of Mexico say today could be very important toward the permanent plug of the leaky BP oil well a mile beneath the surface. Workers and scientists hope to begin pushing mud through some lines they created to begin to seal off that well. In the meantime, the British oil giant is lobbying hard against a plan to ban it from new offshore drilling in the United States. The House of Representatives has passed a bill to tighten safety standards for oil drilling. Marketplace's Stephen Beard is with us live from London this morning to discuss.
Hello, Steve.
What does this bill do?
Well, it doesn't name BP, but BP is pretty obviously the main target. Under one of the bill's provisions, a company would be banned from getting a license to drill offshore in the US if that company had been responsible for the deaths of more than 10 workers over the last 7 years. Well, 11 workers sadly lost their lives in the Deepwater Horizon disaster, so BP rather neatly fills that bill.
Yeah, singles them out precisely. How is BP, Stephen, pushing back against the bill?
They're not doing it publicly, but it's been reported that BP and the British government, in fact, are lobbying behind the scenes, saying that the bill is unconstitutional because it singles out one company for punitive action. Chris Grabowski of the Peak Oil consulting firm says the measure is also rather premature.
We haven't yet got a formal assessment of how the accident really developed, as to who was actually to blame. There's a bit of jumping the gun here and assuming that it was all BP or overwhelmingly BP.
Now, the Senate's bill doesn't include this measure, so there's a good chance the ban won't become law, but it does show BP is still a lot of challenges.
Marketplace's Stephen Beard reporting from London. Stephen, thanks.
Okay, Steve.
Let's check numbers. Shares in Europe are much higher at the moment. Strong European bank earnings helping out there. Asian markets rose today. Wall Street Friday, after an early roller coaster ride, stocks settled at about where they began. Dow gave back one point, to close at 10,467. July, the best month in a year for the Dow. The market added 7%.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Ally Bank, committed to customer service with the option to reach a human being at any time at 877-247-ALLY by pressing 0.
President Obama says he wants negotiations on Russia's admission to the World Trade Organization finished fast. The call for speed has some U.S. manufacturers worried that Russia will be given an easy ride on all the counterfeiting going on over there. From Moscow, Peter Van Dyke reports.
Inside a shop barely bigger than a closet, the walls are stacked floor to ceiling with CDs, computer games and DVDs, including a dozen copies of the movie Night and Day and all four Shrek films on one disc. How much for the Shreks? 200 rubles, the guy in the shop says. Less than $7. Counterfeit DVDs like this are common, but Russia says the situation is improving.
The government is certainly doing much to stop the sales of illegal DVDs or trademarked products.
Vladimir Biryulin is the head of the legal department at Russian law firm Gorodisky & Partners. He says companies can get justice through the Russian courts on intellectual property violations.
If an IP owner, be it a copyright owner or a trademark owner, wants to stop the particular case of infringement, I can state that 99% he will have success.
U.S. manufacturers agree the situation has improved in Russia, but they say China's commitments regarding enforcement of patents and copyrights didn't materialize after it joined the WTO, and they don't want to make the same mistake.
Factor, because what we learned from the China experience is that we want to see action before we see accession.
Mark Esper is vice president of the Global Intellectual Property Center in Washington. He says Russia should be allowed to join the World Trade Organization, but not until it lives up to a 2006 deal on strengthening protections for intellectual property.
Enhance their criminal penalties with regard to piracy and counterfeiting. That hasn't happened. We've asked to strengthen border enforcement. That hasn't happened. So while it's fair to say they've made progress, it's also fair to say they haven't crossed the finish line yet either.
Now, President Obama has said he wants the negotiations on Russia's WTO bid wrapped up soon, but some observers warn that unless Russia does more to protect intellectual property rights, it may have to wait. In Moscow, I'm Peter Van Dyke for Marketplace.
A couple of countries in the Middle East will ban wireless BlackBerry mobile phone use. Starting in October, the United Arab Emirates will stop people from sending emails, surfing the net, or sending texts from their handsets because of security concerns. And the move has prompted Saudi Arabia to take similar measures. The BBC's Katie Watson reports.
The government of the United Arab Emirates says BlackBerry is operating outside the law. That's because the wireless data sent from a BlackBerry, even in the UAE, is encrypted and sent to servers in other countries, including Canada. And that means the UAE can't monitor the information. Fevzi Turkalp is the editor of GadgetDetective.com. He says BlackBerry is known for its security.
The messages that are sent back into the inbox of BlackBerry users in UAE and Saudi Arabia are encrypted. The opportunity to snoop on them is vastly reduced.
The BlackBerry is one of the most popular smartphones in the two countries, with nearly 1 million users. An official from Saudi Telecom has admitted the decision is intended to put pressure on BlackBerry's owners to release users' data when needed, but the Canadian company has so far refused to comply. And critics suggest the UAE government doesn't just want to view the data, but wants to censor the information. In Dubai, I'm the BBC's Katie Watson for Marketplace.
A lot of mobile devices these days feature something that started as a small project in a research lab. The Corning Company created Gorilla Glass in 1962. But the super strong glass didn't catch on until just a couple of years ago to prevent your cell phone screen from breaking in your pocket. It's a $170 million business now, a year, but that could grow because the glass is being used on frameless flat panel televisions. Glossy sheen, of course, but also to warn off the occasional thrown vase or Wii video game control at your TV. This is the Marketplace Morning Report in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.